If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Well, actually, it's Colleen in for you today. I have Don Mills from Alliance Legal Group with me. Steve is out for today, but we have a good program for you. We're talking about Great America Comeback, and so we are continuing to talk on different topics that we need to know about. As Christians, we need to be aware of and know about. And so, again, this program is being brought to you by the Alliance Legal Group. You can find out more information by going to www.debtfreeva.com. And if you'd like to join the conversation today, I'm going to give out that number. It's 488-5299, 488-5299. As I mentioned, standing in today for Steve is Don Mills. Don Mills is the chaplain of the Alliance Legal Group and Christian Rights Ministries. Thank you so much, Don.
Well, thank you very much, Colleen. It's great to be back and be in the studio with you to talk about some very, very important issues that relate to Christians. Now, Colleen mentioned quite correctly that we're dealing with issues that have special concern for all Christians. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. So we won't be talking about bankruptcy per se. However, if you have any questions about bankruptcy, you can certainly direct them to the phone number of the Alliance Legal Group, and you can talk to somebody there that might answer questions you might have about that. I actually can give that number because I know it by heart. It's 757-482-5705. 757-482-5705 is one of the phone numbers of the Alliance Legal Group. And if you have questions about your possible bankruptcy or contemplating it, I would invite you to call that number, 482-5705. Now, on to our topic. We introduced the topic of critical race theory on Thursday. And for those who listened to that broadcast, you gained at least a little bit of familiarity with what this is about. Critical race theory is something that it's a doctrine or an ideology that springs from socialism and even traits of communism, whereby you have two basic groups of people, an oppressor group and an oppressed group. And that takes expression along several different lines. It will do it racially. It will do it in the matter of sex. It will do it in the matter of gender, economics, and so forth. So critical race theory attempts to pit this one group over against the other. Certainly one example of that was in the Russian Revolution in 1917, where the proletariat, which was the lower class, went to war against the bourgeois middle class and overcame them. And the proletariat was fed all kinds of information about how they were being cheated and ripped off. This was something that Lenin, the one who started this revolt in Russia back then, fed into the minds of the people who were part of the lower class. And so they revolted, which then led to communism and so-called equality. Now, how does that affect America today? Mm-hmm. Well, it's still affecting America in a lot of those ways, but one of the main areas where we're having some false information and deception spreading like wildfire is in the matter of race. What we find is that in almost every university in America, and now even in many of our public schools, students are being taught that racism is built right into the very fabric of our society, and that if you're a white person, you are a racist, period. Doesn't matter whether you consider yourself colorblind, whether you consider yourself neutral, or that you might even have a number of black friends, and you might be very near and dear to them, and they might be near and dear to you. But the theory itself teaches that if you're a white person, that puts you in a position of power, that puts you in the position of being part of the oppressor group. And so what will happen is critical race theorists will go back and look at our nation's history and interpret what happened through that lens. So everything that's happened in America, even going back to the colonial days, is driven by the idea of enslaving black people and white people are their owners or their masters. Absolutely every aspect of American history is interpreted in that way. Now, that is horrifically distorted. There might be elements of truth in what we find in the theory, but it is like going into a funhouse in an amusement park and walking through the Hall of Mirrors, and you're going to get all different kinds of distortions if you've ever been in them. You know, you walk along, and one mirror you look into makes you look really tall. The other one makes you look really short, or it makes your head look really big and your body small, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Now, that is what critical race theory does. It's a terrible distortion of American history and our Christian heritage. Now, let me comment that what critical race theory fails to recognize is that America, which was largely founded by white men, I acknowledge that our founding fathers like Jefferson and Washington and a whole bunch of the other guys were white men. But the thing that distinguishes them is not their skin color. It's not their economic situation. It rather has to do with the timeless principles that they discovered in their understanding of the Bible and in their understanding of the Enlightenment, which was a movement that started in the 1700s or so, which emphasized the freedom of every individual, basic rights of every individual rights, personal sovereignty. These are the things that came out of the Enlightenment. And this has nothing to do with skin color. It has everything to do with the timeless truths and principles that came out of that, but especially out of the Bible. Because you will not find critical race theory anywhere in the Bible. The Bible does not support it. Christians should not support it, because there are so many things about it that is just purely false. The main idea, again, is that racism is systemic. By systemic, it means it infects the DNA of our very heritage, our very nation, its political system, and everything. And so what the solution proposed is that you just pretty much cause a revolt and overturn everything. Everything gets overturned. American society.
Exactly.
Well, like, for example, you want to see the end of capitalism. So you want to see a situation of socialist equality. You want to have communism where the government owns everything and the government distributes the rights to people. The government itself actually determines people's rights. Rights are not inalienable. They are conferred on people by the government. So it's big government influence trying to overturn what is perceived to be white culture that dominates America as it is perceived by them. And so that's part, you know, that's partly what it is. The idea is by causing young people to hate America, to hate our heritage, to hate the principles of freedom, the social compact theory, and all of those things, and Brandon as race, you're just going to sweep that aside and in comes something else. And what is it that's going to come in? Socialism and communism, and you're going to have it driven by atheistic principles. It's basically going to be atheistic is what it's going to be. It means that you won't have freedom of speech. Even now we have problems with that, where a person talks about something that is offending another group and he just innocently uses a word and that creates offense. So I don't know, any other questions or comments about that, Colleen?
No, I was going to say, you know, what is the point behind, you know, what is the agenda? What is the hope, the having it come out? And especially, you know, it is concerning to me as well, you know, because they're putting it into the educational process.
Not just the universities.
Into high schools and mm-hmm. even elementary schools.
Yes.
And, or it's coming anyway, if it mm-hmm. hasn't already been. And we know there's always been an issue sometimes with agendas in education. But mm-hmm. seeing this, you know, you have to be, you have to learn. You have to do your own research. You have to not take it for what people tell you it to be. You mm-hmm. know, you should ask questions mm-hmm. For all of that. And that's where I, like you said, it's going towards socialism. But we know that maybe because we keep researching it and hearing about it. But I'm not sure that that's what the general public is hearing and understanding. So that's, I guess maybe I'm coming from that perspective is like, well, you put it out there. That's not what the general public is hearing about. Oh, well, we're going to go down this road.
Right. Now, let me back up and just answer one more thing about the question that Colleen raised a moment ago about the goal. The ultimate goal is to do away with American exceptionalism and nationalism. If you love your country, that makes you a nationalist. That makes you almost like a Nazi. If you consider America to be exceptional, and the greatest country in the world, then you're pretty much branded like that. What the goal is to have a globalism, where the United States is just but one among all the other countries, leading then ultimately, I believe, to one world government. Now, I'm not going to get into eschatology at this point, but that would be the direction that it goes, because if America loses its power and its influence, that's the direction it's going to go. It can't go any other way. I mean, we're the last bastion of freedom. Now, Colleen mentioned about public schools already now. I don't know if you knew this, but up in Loudoun County, there's a great battle going on between the school board of the Loudoun County School District and many, many parents that are very angry over what they see happening to their schools, where this whole notion is being introduced to the public school there. Children come home and they're told that if they're white, that they're actually evil people, they're wrong. And they're told about that their use of their personal pronouns, if he or she is fluid, you can adopt whatever gender you want to assign to yourself. Doesn't matter whether you're a kindergartner or not. You know, and the thing is that what makes this scary is that you have universities teaching our future educators. And so school teachers coming out of these schools are going to be infected with this. And they're going to be infected with the idea of critical race theory that pits the different races against one another. The use of gender neutral language where you can't even use the word mother anymore. Did you hear that? You know, the idea of birthing persons. Mother's Day of this last year, I was looking at some news items, and there are some who are saying we shouldn't even use the term mother anymore. The mother is a birthing person. Wow. Somebody, happy birthing person day. Do you like that? You see what I'm saying? That's the movement.
It's scary.
It is. There's a school district in New Jersey that they don't want to offend anybody, so they got rid of all the names for the holidays. Put that in their calendar. Erased Christmas, Thanksgiving, Independence Day. All the school holidays were erased and just given the label day off. And that created a great uproar among a lot of the parents there. So there is a groundswell among the general populace who know about these things, that this is the kind of stuff that's happening. Now, if you're listening and you're a parent, you need to make sure you pay close attention to what's happening in your school and what your child is getting. Now, I haven't heard too much about critical race theory in the Hampton Roads area, but I am just suspicious. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to introduce this. This was partly due to what happened last May with the death of George Floyd, which then just pretty much broke the dam and opened this whole thing up with the Black Lives Matter and so forth. Now, again, we have to be careful not to be fooled by language, because people will use the same words and mean something entirely differently. Let me talk for a moment about Black Lives Matter. I'm probably getting myself in trouble, but I'm echoing what Dinesh D'Souza has said, as well as others. I like the phrase Black Lives Matter. I really do like the phrase. I think it's a great phrase. Black lives do matter. They are very important. Black people are precious in the sight of God. God loves them. They're created in the image of God. I like the phrase Black Lives Matter, but I don't like the movement, because the movement is a neo-Marxist movement that does not care about the black lives of preborn babies. That's one example. They don't care about the struggles that are going on in the inner city. They want to coddle up to the big tech companies. Actually, some of the leaders in the Black Lives Movement have taken advantage of their sudden wealth and have purchased properties and things like that. And so I'm just saying that this is something that we shouldn't be fooled by when we hear these phrases. Support the phrase, but don't support the movement that claims that they believe that they make this claim, because it doesn't really matter to them. Power matters. You see, revolution, disruption, subversion, those are the things that matter. Now, let's talk a little bit about the source of all of this. Let's go back a little bit to what the Bible has to say about this idea of race. What does the Bible say about race? Well, the Bible tells us that the human race came into existence through one couple, Adam and Eve, and that we are all descended from one couple. Our parents, all our parents, our ultimate parents for everybody on planet Earth are Adam and Eve. All right? So don't fool yourself. As a matter of fact, Acts 17:26, Paul says, he is made from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So I don't even like to use the word race in any other way than to say the human race, because we are all members of the human race. I don't think there is such a thing as the black race, the Asian race, the Hispanic race. These are people groups, okay? People groups. They are nations. They are ethnicities. And it's, yes, there are ethnic distinctions among many different members of the human race. But look, if I needed to have a blood transfusion, I wouldn't care.
It wouldn't matter.
Whether it was an Asian person, an Hispanic, a black, Arab, it wouldn't matter to me as long as he has my same blood type. See what I'm saying? When we cut each other open, if they open somebody up on the surgical table and they look on the inside, everything is the same. The distinctions we have are surface only. And so to make this big deal about skin color is unbiblical. You're judging a person based on how they appear. The Bible says that God doesn't look on the outward, but he looks on the inward part of the man. Paul says we should no longer look at people according to the flesh, but we should look at them through Christ. Now, we're having a phone call come in, so we'll go ahead and accept this. In the meantime, I'll keep talking.
What's your name?
So anyway, I think that it's really, really important that we emphasize what the Bible has to say about race, that it came from one couple. We're all descended from that one couple, that God is the one who caused us to be different.
Okay. Caller has a question for you.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, I just had a question or a comment, or kind of a both. But I heard you talking today about this critical race theory stuff, and I'm an actual teacher in the Hampton Roads area, so I'm just wondering when I hear this concept, like, it just makes me go to, like, social studies in the Declaration of Independence where it says all men are created equal. That could be interpreted as all people are created equal. And I'm wondering how would we possibly combat this idea through the Constitution and or the Declaration of Independence?
Well, I don't know what... Do you teach social studies? I mean, I don't know what topic you teach in school, but...
No, I don't teach social studies. I'd rather not say for anonymity, but...
Okay, yeah, you don't need to do that. That's fine. Well, the first thing I think we have to do as a teacher, I guess if I were a teacher, I would just put my ear to the ground and listen very carefully about what's going on in my school. Listen carefully to the language. Listen to what's actually being said, you know, in the faculty meetings, or whether you attend board meetings or not, I don't know. So you want to listen carefully to that. There is litigation taking place all across the country on this very issue about, you know, the First Amendment and calling people back the Declaration. But one of the problems is that we need to be aware of is that whenever we bring that up, they're going to say, yes, but the Declaration was written by white men. Jefferson was a slave owner. Many of the signers of the Constitution owned slaves. And so this is nothing more than pure whiteness. It's a white document. These are white documents. And so we just have to be, we have to emphasize that truth is timeless, that it transcends all cultures, that equality is something that came from God, and it's timeless. Culture, you know, so that's part of the answer, I think. Was there anything more you were hoping to?
Well, you were saying, I mean, specifically the Declaration of Independence, where it says in the preamble, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator mm-hmm. with certain unalienable rights. At that point, it is, to me, the argument about it just being a white document, it's, I wouldn't, if they focus on the document, I would say, more focus on the idea, the concept, kind of like what you were saying earlier, during the Enlightenment period, it's that all people are created equal under their Creator. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know, you know, I understand that they are going to point to that and saying it's a white document, whatever, and I'm not going to try to argue the document with somebody.
No.
But the ideas in there are what I can actually... like grab a hold of and try to expound to them. And I'm just wondering if that's not necessarily even the word useful, but it's just like where, at what point do we as people just start to combat it with that kind of logic where it's, I mean, I guess you can't rationalize with an irrational person.
No. Well, this is you've asked a kind of question that requires a lot more time to answer than I could probably give you. I agree completely with what you said about the principles and the ideas that are embodied in those documents. I agree with that perfectly. And to me, the only solution is for all American citizens to be aware of this doctrine of critical race theory, what it propounds. I just touch the surface of what it involves. When I come back next time or whenever it is, I hope to talk about it more. But chatting it over, and I would just urge you to be careful. You might, you know, you talk to people even in your own school and raise concerns about it. You know, they might, you might be exposed. So you have to be kind of prepared for that depending upon who it is you talk to. But, you know, you have to work with the parents and, you know, the parents in the school to get them to support traditional education as it has been taught all these years. You have to make the public aware, whether it's a letter to the editor or any number of other options that I think that could be available.
Right. I can honestly say that in my time of teaching, I haven't encountered anyone that seems to be radically on this path. But again, this is a new path that people mm-hmm. are establishing. Mm-hmm. So my interaction with, and I guess you wouldn't even call them races, all my ethnicities mm-hmm. in my classroom, it's, you know, you treat people like you want to be treated. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not, in my mind, it's I'm not sitting there trying to pigeonhole somebody and blame them based on whatever their skin tone is.
Right. Let me just say that even 2 years ago, I had never heard of the phrase critical theory or critical race theory. I learned about it 2 years ago. It only has really started to gain momentum in the last year or less, especially in school systems across the country. So it doesn't really surprise me that maybe you haven't encountered it yet, depending on, you know, your school and where what the community is and that kind of a thing. But in some of our larger school districts like Loudoun County, it's a very serious problem. And also in places elsewhere in the United States, there are problems. So I would recommend that, well, I don't know how to suggest this, but I mean, there's like about 20 different, there's about 20 different websites that I look at every day that help me in getting a little bit of a broader perspective. But I would recommend, if you want to learn a little bit more, just go to YouTube, type in Dinesh D'Souza and critical race theory. He has about a 10-minute discussion on it that I find very, very helpful. That's Dinesh D'Souza on YouTube with critical race theory. And it's not a very long chat, but it's very useful.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. Well, you take care.
Yep, you too. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I did want to get into a little bit about Satan and language, but we'll have to do that later. But I will say this, that one of the areas where Satan attacks people, attacks the human race, is in this whole area of language. You go to Genesis 3, and what was it that caused the fall of man into sin? Satan lied about what God had said. God had given a command to Adam and Eve about not eating certain fruit. Right. Satan comes along, raises doubts.
Did he really say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's questioning the divine revelation right from the very beginning, you see, and by introducing doubt. And then, of course, you just look at Genesis and see that matters relating to the problems that linguistics causes by shading the meaning, by double talk, by euphemism, double entendre. There's all kinds of ways that language is used and abused in order to accomplish something. And we need to just stick to the plain, ordinary way of conversation so that we don't fall into that trap. Because that's the thing. The thing about, I don't know how much time do I have now? 2 minutes, okay. Let me tell you this. Critical race theory refutes itself. Critical race theory refutes itself. You might ask, well, how does it do that? Critical race theory has to rely upon quote-unquote whiteness, like logic and writing and the English language and academics and studies and books and on, in order to refute whiteness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So critical race theory refutes itself. In order for it to get anything done, it has to rely upon the very things that it hates. Now, logic and science is not whiteness. These are principles. But they think that they have to use logic in order to refute or oppose whiteness or oppose truth. And in the process, they refute themselves. So that's pretty much it. I'll come back and comment that a little bit more. I don't know if I made it as clear as I would have liked. But use of language itself shows that it is really self-refuting. If they consider the English language to be white man's language, they shouldn't even be using it. See what I'm saying? All right, so come back then. And let's just say that as believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus died for the sins of all people. In heaven, there's going to be a massively diverse group of people from all different ethnicities, all different people groups. That itself destroys this theory that in eternity, God loves diversity. He loves people. He made you what you are because of his sovereign choice. So leave that. I leave that with you. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, Don. And again, tune in on Thursday and hopefully we'll hear more from Don and get some more of these perspectives as well. So thank you. Tune in again on Thursday.
You've You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems. If you would like more information about the Alliance Legal Group or Christian Rights Ministries, please visit debtfreeva.com or call 757-923-4357. That's 757-923-4357.